Reading from Sri Bhajan Rahasyam by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, we're discussing the fifth verse from Shikshastakam. Ayi nanda tana chikinkaram patitam maam vishameva vambado kripaya tava para pankaja stita dili sadricham vachintaya. This Sanskrit prayer was spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was living in Jagannath Puri in the Gambira. In the last 6 years of his life on this planet, he was deeply absorbed in Radharani's Mahabhav, trying to understand. As he finally learned, he went to the school of Radha Prem, and he was taught by Radharani herself, appearing as Gadadhara Pandit, and he was also taught by Lita Vishakha. Lita Vishakha appeared as the teachers before Krishna, or Mahaprabhu, as Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rai Ramananda. So with these three Shiksha Gurus, or teachers, Krishna learned all about Radharani's love and separation, her Viraha Prem, where she experiences the topmost pitch of ecstasy and divine love known as Mahabhav, Madanakya Mahabhav. So as Lord Chaitanya, or Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, was experiencing this Radhabhav, this Mahabhav or Radhabhav, he was feeling this great separation, and in that separation from Krishna, Lord Chaitanya offered this prayer called Shikshastakam, and that was spoken in Gambira. It was a very, very deep prayer, but somehow this prayer, although it's expression of Radharani's love and separation, it indicates all the aspects of the also, because there's different levels, all these Sanskrit verses, they have their internal level, their external level, their internal meaning, their external meaning, and so many varieties of meanings. So the Shikshastakam has deep meaning, because in the Shikshastakam we have Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana for the Gaudiya Vedanta. The philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is fully contained therein. So this prayer is also for us, or sadhakas or practitioners. So yesterday we were discussing text 11, and in text 11, to bring out or develop this concept of asakti or attachment to Krishna at the level of nambhajan, performing nambhajan and developing in our bhajan or in our bhakti or in our devotion, developing actual attachment to Krishna. Because nishta is trinadapi sunichena, and then ruchi is nadana najana nasundarim, and then we have this asakti. Asakti is this ayinanda tanusha kinkaram, where Radharani is crying out to Krishna, O nanda nandan, please, please save me. Please rescue me. I'm drowning. I'm lost. I'm helplessly drowning in an ocean of material existence. Please pick me up and give me some seva. Give me some service. Keep me fixed on your feet like a particle of dust. So this is the prayer of Radharani. She's praying to Krishna. So this is the prayer of the conditioned souls suffering in this material world. We're also praying to God. This material world is like a vast ocean. And there's so much difficulty and problems in this world. So to get out of the ocean, you need to be rescued. So only God can rescue one from the ocean of material existence. So we also pray to God to rescue us and keep us fixed in His service. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur yesterday was saying that abhimanam parityaja prakriti vaparadishu. We have to give up this material abhiman, this mentality of thinking I am the body, or I am the enjoyer. And this is actually temporary and false, because it's related to the material body, which is also temporary and ultimately false. It's not related to the eternal self or the eternal soul, because the soul is eternal, and therefore what is eternal is ultimately real. As real as that which lasts forever. So in that identifying and mentioning about this abhiman, and how to develop this mentality of being Radharani's servant, because this is what kinkari means. Ayinanda tanusha kinkaram. Kinkaram means, and the ultimate issue, kinkara means kinkari, to be a maidservant of Radharani. So he quoted a verse from Brajavilastava, verse 38, where Raghunath Das is praying to the maidservants of Radhika, especially Rupa Manjari. And he's glorifying Rupa Manjari and explaining how Rupa Manjari can render so much intimate and affectionate service to Radharani. that even her personal Paramaprishta Sakis, her Sakis like Lalita and Vishaka, they can't render such intimate, confidential service. And then he mentions some things, like offering tambal, massaging her feet, bringing water, and arranging her meetings with Krishna. So this is what we discussed yesterday. And in line of that discussion, we had some notes from last year on this verse we compiled. So this verse is very much, this verse we just read, which is supporting verse, from Brajavilasstava, Tambalarpanam Pada Mardana, Payodhan Avisar Adibir. He's saying, I take shelter of the maidservants of Srimati Radhika, of whom Rupamandri is prominent. Unlike Radharani's most intimate confidential sakis, like Lalita and Vishaka, these Manjaris can perform any service without hesitation. They perpetually and affectionately satisfy Srimati Radhika by their various services, such as offering tambul, massaging Radha's feet, bringing water for Radha, and arranging her intimate meetings with Krishna. So this verse is very important for anyone who's interested in developing the Abhiman of the Braja Gopis. And this is, what, as we mentioned, this mantra, Mayi Upasana, that we worship the Lord through these type of mantras. So this is, when we chant these mantras, of course we're chanting japa every day, but one teacher was telling us, this is our note that we collected, that when we chant japa of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we should actually try to enter into trance. Trance means deep concentration, deep meditation. It's a practice. Of course, at the stage of pure devotion, or when we have pure mind, it automatically one becomes absorbed, one becomes concentrated. But now our minds are splayed out over many different subjects or attractions, and our minds have the tendency to pull us in one way or another, especially when we sit for japa. But we should try to be in trance, and the object of trance is, that's what mantra Mayi Upasana is all about. We take one mantra which is describing some conception or some pastime or some feelings, or in this case, this particular verse from Brajavilasstava number 38 is describing the mentality or abhiman of a Brajagopi, a Manjari, and also her aspiration for service. So the idea is in bhajan that we become, at least for 1 minute, this one Acharya was telling us, at least for one minute when we're chanting japa, we should try to be absorbed in thinking about our ultimate identity. Because now we probably never for 1 minute in a day we think about our ultimate identity, at least most of us, not all of us. Nor do we even have any idea what it is. But let's assume that we ascribe an ultimate identity, or we accept an ultimate identity. And what's being offered here in this book is the identity of a kinkari, the identity ultimately of being a maidservant or a young gopi, pransaki of Radharani, Palyadasi, a protected maidservant. As we said, palana. Palana means maintained. A dasi that's maintained by Radharani. Actually, directly maintained by Srimati Radharani, living with Radharani, associating with Radharani, serving Radharani, and feeling whatever Radharani feels. So much intimate is there. So when chanting japa, we may read a verse like this and understand what it's saying about how fortunate the mantras are, what intimate service they can render. Then one chants japa and prays to the Lord. When will that time come? When I will be such a fortunate mandri, or I will be such a fortunate maidservant of Radharani, where I will massage Radharani's feet. And actually chant japa and think, oh, I'm in the spiritual world. At least for 1 minute. Of course, and when one practices Raganuga Bhakti on the higher level of Rag, one actually engages this way. This is part of his actual bhajan. But even in the beginning, one can think like this. Try for 1 minute. Because at the level of bhava bhakti, when one comes to bhava bhakti, then one actually realizes, by Guru's grace, one realizes his particular spiritual form, individual identity, in whatever rati that may be. Let's say, for example, Madhura Rati or conjugal love. So this is a nice verse that has been written here about Tambul Seva. So when one meditates on this, when one actually chants this verse and worships this verse, because you see offering Tambul. So you say, okay, Mandris, they offer the service of Tambul. So what is that? Tambul means betel nut. Betel nut is a type of nut, grows on a tree. They have it growing in Mayapur by near the Lotus building. There's some small trees there on the, maybe it's north side of the garden. They look like palm trees, look like date palms, but they're actually betel nut trees. And Jananivas, he harvests the betel nut there for Radhamadav Seva on that garden, right opposite the Lotus building. There's a big grassy area there where Prabhupada used to walk and sit sometimes. So on one border there, there's tumble tree, what do you call it? Betel nut trees. So this nut, when you chew it, it makes one very relaxed, make you feel very relaxed, betel nut. And also it's very good for digestion, helps digest the food. So people generally take this after they eat. But betel nut, it's when you chew it, then it dyes your mouth red. There's some red color inside this nut. Just like if you eat turmeric. Turmeric is like ginger root. You buy raw turmeric and you eat it, then your teeth all become yellow. And your whole mouth becomes yellow from the haldi. You say haldi or turmeric. Turmeric. So what is told here is that when one chants this verse and he thinks, okay, for 1 minute I'm in trance. I'm absorbed in trance. I'm a mandri. I'm in the spiritual world, and I'm offering this tambul to Radharani. When Radharani takes this tambul, which is a mixture of betel nut, this reddish-type nut, and other things, sometimes some cloves and some coconut can be there, and sometimes even raisins and a pan leaf folded over. There's sweet pan, and there's pungent pan. There's different types of pan or tambul that are made for the pleasure of the Lord and Radharani. And they have different substances in them. So when Radharani takes this, we offer it to her, and then now she's going to take it. So then when she's eating that, while she's eating that, of course she's with Krishna. And then she may kiss Krishna. And then when she kisses Krishna, then some drops of this tambul from her mouth, which is her mouth or saliva becomes somewhat reddish from this tambul, and some drops of tambul come on Krishna's cheek, near his lips. So then his blue cheek comes little red dots. So if one is chanting like this and thinking, then these things, Raghunath Das will show all these things. That's what Mantra Maya Upasana means. Then his meditation, you actually enter the Leela. It's called Leela Pravesh. And this is by the mercy of Raghunath Das. Then you'll see these things. You say, oh, Radharani, I offered this tambul to you, and I never realized how you would use this tambul to so beautifully decorate Krishna's cheek. You've made such nice designs on his cheek with this tambul. I could never imagine that by serving you, I'd also be serving Krishna simultaneously. Even myself, if I was to decorate Krishna's cheek with some kunkum or some red mixture to put some dots, I don't think I could do such a good job as you've done. So this is what it means to have this abhiman. When our mentality becomes so much absorbed in the gopi seva and the mandri seva and their feelings of and desiring to please Radharani, and when that abhiman comes, it's a mentality. It's a way of thinking. So as that abhiman comes deeper and deeper, then so much one will see in these descriptions. Because this is not the end of it. When Raghunath Das Goswami writes a verse like this, he's just taking, as if you have a pearl necklace, he's taking one pearl off the necklace and say, look, see, here's one pearl. Well, it's part of a whole necklace. There's so many pearls on the necklace, and it's so many. So in the same thing, this is one pearl from the necklace of his meditation, but it indicates so many other pastimes will follow behind this. And then it says, for example, this is one example. So what Raghunath Das is praying here in this verse, he's praying as he starts off, he says, I want to take shelter of Rupa Manjari, and by the mercy of Rupa Manjari, I'll be able to do this service. So this is actually the prayer of the sadhaka also, though he's always praying to Rupa Manjari, because Rupa Manjari is like the, you can say, the taskmaster. She is engaging everyone in their individual services, because she's so much, you can say, so much one with the feelings of Radharani's heart, and she's Rupa Manjari, that her heart is the, you can say, Sri Rupa means the Rupa, the form of Sri, and Sri is Radharani, so her heart is one with Radharani so much, she knows everything about Radharani's heart. Of course, she's directly expanded from Radharani's heart. As Radharani expanded her heart into different Sakis and Manjaris, then the very heart of Sri became Sri Rupa Manjari. So she is the chief engager. She's the chief Manjari that engages all the Manjaris in Seva. So therefore, Raghunath Das, although Raghunath Das, who is Raghunath Das? Raghunath Das is Rati Manjari. Who is Rati Manjari? Rati Manjari is also Kayavyu of Radharani, directly expanded from her body. But Rati Manjari represents Radharani's Rati, represents Radharani's attachment, her intense feelings of love for Krishna is Rati Manjari. She's also called Banumati or Tulsi. Tulsi means, what does Tulsi mean? Tula means balance. No one can balance or equal. Tulsi means incomparable or unequaled. Tulsi. So she can't be equaled. But Sri Rupa Manjari is a very special position of all the Sakhi Manjaris. I mean, all the Manjaris. Because she represents the very heart of Radharani. So that's why she's so much confidential, or say confidant of Radharani. So this is the system to take shelter of Rupa Manjari in order to attain service of Radharani. So Rupa Manjari is always doing archan to Srimati Radhika in the core of her heart. When a peacock sees Radharani's braid, he becomes ashamed of his tail. This is actually told in, maybe it's Govinda Lilamrita. If it's not there, then it's Krishnaika Komudi. When a peacock sees Radharani's, especially when her braid comes undone and her hair is loose, if the peacock sees her hair, and so shining and so long and so glistening, and the peacock looks back at his tail, which is also glistening and very shiny and very attractive in certain seasons, then the peacock thinks, oh, my tail is terrible. This is told in Bhavanasara Sangra, which is quoting from somewhere else. He sees his tail, then he thinks, oh, my tail is terrible. And out of embarrassment, then the peacock flies way up on the top of some tree or flies up to the top of Govardhan Hill, because he doesn't want to, you know, Radharani may look at my tail, or he doesn't want anyone to see his tail anymore, because before, everybody would see the peacock's tail and say, oh, how beautiful your tail is, how long, how shiny. But now I see this is Radharani's, like we say, this is like her tail. Her hair is so beautiful that I don't want to show my tail anymore in the presence of Radharani's hair. So Radharani, it says that now there's when Krishna's hair is compared also to a peacock. When his hair is loosened, it's compared to the peacock's tail. But then Radharani's braid, when she makes her braid, Rupa Goswami, he writes in Chatupushpanjali. In Chatupushpanjali, Rupa Goswami says, oh Radharani, your baini, your braided hair, that it's going, you know, it's going like this, right? The braid goes like this. And so when a snake moves, it goes like that. So then Rupa Goswami says, Radharani, your hair is so black, because her hair is black, pitch black, like darkest night, very, very black, and so shiny, and it's so crooked. You know, your baini, the way it's moving, your baini is like a snake, it's like a cobra. And Krishna's hair, when it's loosened, it looks like the tail of a peacock. So this is when the Manjaris also render the service of Keshseva. They brush Radharani's hair. And when they're brushing Radharani's hair, they're thinking, because they also brush Krishna's hair. In the morning, in Nandagaon, during Krishna's bathing, Mother Yashoda, sometimes the Manjaris come there. They come ahead of time. because they come ahead of time. They're going to come later with Radharani to help her in cooking Krishna's breakfast. But sometimes they come beforehand. They say, Radharani, we want to go ahead of time. Do you mind? We'll meet you later in the kitchen in Nandagal. And she says, yeah, go ahead, chill out. So they go because they have some plan in their mind. They know if they go ahead of time that they can take part in Krishna's bathing. And then Mother Yashoda, she's an older lady, because you have to understand, when Krishna was born, Mother Yashoda was about 70 years old, 65, 70, quite old. And old people are very tolerant. When you're young, you're a little feisty, hey, what's this, what's that? But as you get older and older, you become more and more tolerant. You start tolerating everything, and that's why old people, you know, they're so good babysitters for grandchildren, because they can tolerate. But the parents can't tolerate their own children, but the grandparents can, because the parents are too get uptight. So then the mantris go there, and then they mix up in Krishna's bedroom, and then they help him dress and help him bathe. And Mother Yashoda thinks, oh, these little girls have come. These little girls have come, these little sucky mantris, they've come from Yavat. And Krishna's now going to take bath, and the male servants are there, and they're also there. Oh, anyway, they're like little babies. Anyway, let them stay here. Then she goes in the kitchen to organize the cooking. Then these mantris are there bathing Krishna and dressing him, and then they're brushing his hair. So when they're brushing Krishna's hair, they're saying, oh, his hair is like, it's like when it's hanging on the back, so beautiful and black, it's like a peacock's tail. But then when they go to Barsana, or they go to Yavat, and they're brushing Radharani's hair, they think, oh, Radharani, your hair is like a snake. And when a snake of your hair meets a peacock of Krishna's hair, your snake is going to bite that peacock and defeat that peacock. Because in nature, one may not know, but in nature, peacock, the food for the peacock is snakes. The peacocks, they move in the field where all the grains are after they harvest the grains, and all the rats go in the fields and eat all the grains and live in the holes. Then all the snakes come in the fields and eat the rats that are living in the holes in the fields. Then the peacocks are always dancing in the harvest fields, because I see here, as soon as they harvest the grains, so many peacocks come running around the fields. They're not running around to eat some wheat, because there's no wheat there. There's only some busa or something. All the wheat's gone. They're coming to catch the snakes that are coming to catch the mice, right? Jivo jivasya jivanam. One living entity lives on another. So the sakis, when their mantris are rendering the service of brushing Radharani's hair, they're thinking, oh, I saw that peacock this morning. I saw that peacock this morning in the back of Krishna's head. But that peacock is going to get bitten this evening. This evening, when the snake of your bani meets that peacock, that peacock's going to be defeated. So this is a type of meditation that one can do. And even as a sadhaka, when he reads these things, he reads in Vilap Kusumanjali, this is the mantra, it's called Mantra Mayupasana. He reads, Raghunath Das is saying, oh, Srimati Radhika, when will I brush your hair with a golden comb? All it says is that, when will I brush your hair with a golden comb? That's all. So he reads this mantra, this shloka. Then he prays to Raghunath Das Goswami, please reveal what is the pastime behind this? What is the internal meaning here? And he chants japa. And he prays, and as he's seeing, all it says is, when will I brush your hair with a golden comb? That's all it says in Vilakusamanjali. Then if one does mantra mayupasana, he reads that verse over and over again, and he prays to Raghunath Das, please reveal, where are you brushing Radharani's hair? What is Radharani's hair? How is it like? And then Raghunath Das, as you become more and more sincere and deeper in chanting, then he'll reveal, oh, it's like this, and it's like that. This is what happens. Because all these, and then we see when Rasika Vaishnavas, when they speak on these verses, because I was once in Mathura hearing some description of this, these classes a few days. And it's unbelievable how advanced devotees, or the devotees here at Radhakund, very advanced devotees, when they speak about these shastras, they read the verse and they go on and on and tell so many pastimes in each verse. Because they're entering into this mood and they're becoming tanmoy with Raghunath Das, or Rati Mantri. And then this is revelation coming in their heart in a big way, and like waves and oceans, waves on an ocean. But even a small-time sadhaka, a small-time practitioner, depending on the degree of his sincerity and the degree of his surrender to Raghunath Das or Narottam or Bhaktivinod, so much they can reciprocate, because they're equal. If someone's sincere to follow them, then they reciprocate. So then it's saying here, the mandris can decorate Krishna. This is another way it goes around. The Mandris can decorate Radharani indirectly. Because he's saying here, when will I offer you tambul? This is a prayer that Mandri is praying. When will I have the seva offering you tambul? So now, because not only do the Mandris offer tambul to Krishna, to Radha, but they also offer to Krishna. Especially in Jula and Leela, when they're swinging, the Mandris are on either side of the swing. Some Mandris are offering tambul to Krishna, some to Radha. So now it's being said that the Mandri is thinking, actually, Radharani, I have a plan. A very, very clever, very, very clever Mandri. Just see how the meditation can go. She says, I will decorate my Radharani indirectly. I will decorate her face. How will I decorate her face? I will give this tambul, this betel nut, to Krishna. Then, what will happen? Krishna will chew this betel nut. Then when he's pleased with Radharani, he will kiss Radharani, he will pass this betel nut to Radharani. And then, when he goes to give this betel nut, put it, this betel nut in Radharani's mouth, she will turn her face like this. And she'll say, no, I don't want that. No. And when she turns like that, then Krishna, because he's already started his motion, he's already approaching her lips to give his tambul, which we gave as mandris to him, to give his chewed betel nut to Radharani. He's already approaching, I'm going to give it, and then she turns and says no, and then he just gives it to her, toot, 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 and it comes across her cheek. So he places the tambul on her cheek. And then Radharani speaks some angry words. So then what's happening is that Raghunath Das, he's seeing this and he's remembering this. So he's just simply saying, oh, when will I offer tambul to you as a mandri? So this is Raghunath Das in this verse is praying to Rupa Mandri, or Rupa Goswami, so that he can actually enter such leela. So this is from Brajavilas Stava, but this type of prayer is contained so much in Bilav Kusumanjali, praying for opportunities for seva. So by the mercy of Rupa Mandri, one will get such a chance to do service, massaging Radharani's feet, bringing water, etc., taking Radharani to meet Krishna on Avisara. And then when will I arrange for her trias with Krishna? That means intimate meeting with one's lover, triest, intimate meeting. When will I arrange for that? So now it says, when will I arrange for that? But then if one is thinking, well, what does that mean? Well, Radharani's going to go out and meet Krishna. And Radharani's always wearing ankle bells. She wears ankle bells and waist bells. And if she's going out and meeting Krishna, then if she's wearing ankle bells and those bells are ringing, then Krishna's going to hear when she comes. Beforehand, he'll hear. And then there won't be any suspense or any surprise. And we won't be able to actually spy on Krishna to see how he's feeling in Radharani's separation. So then the Mandri's thinking, oh, before you go out for your lover's trias on Avisar or love journey, then I'm going to take some cloth. I'll take some cloth because Radharani won't take off her ankle bells because that's part of her bhushana, sakhi bhushana, the ornaments of a sakhi. Nose pearl, nupura. This is probably maybe called nakamoti or something like that. Nakamoti, the word for nose in Sanskrit. This nose pearl, then this kinkini. Kinkini means waist bells, and nupura, ankle bells. These are the bhushana. And then makari, the kundala, the earrings, makari and makara. Krishna's makara, gopis have makari. The earrings, the nose pearl, waist bells, ankle bells. Without these, there's no Brajagopi. You see the paintings. You see paintings of gopis, and they don't have a nose pearl here. They have this kind of ring here, like Indian married lady, at marriage time they wear this kind of fancy thing like this, up like this. But this is Lakshmi. It's Lakshmi Devi, and the wife is representing Lakshmi at the time of marriage, or at least supposedly after that also. And then, but gopis, mandris, they don't wear this thing. They wear this thing. One little pearl dancing on the lip and under their nose. So this is bona fide painting of a sakhi. So, but this is a problem. It's problematic. If Radharani runs down the footpath to Nidiban or to Sevakunj or Rasastali or Jumanapulin with these ankle bells and they're jingling, ting, 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 ting. Krishna's in the kunj, he's waiting. Oh, You know, he's in Kunja Mandir, and he's, oh, here she comes. And then he's like very much composed, and, well, I look really relaxed. Like I have no anticipation. I'm not excited. I'm totally detached. If she comes or not, I couldn't care less. And so he tries to put on this whole show. But if she comes silently, that's like death. Death comes silently, right? Death doesn't make any noise. Death just comes. Ta. You know, it takes you. Death doesn't make noise. So love is like this also. Love is very silent, very mysterious. And it increases the enchantment. So then the mandris, they take some cloth, and they wrap some cloth around Radharani's ankle bells. So ankle bells are still there on her feet, but they wrap this cloth, so when she's running, then the ankle bells are silent. And the waist bells, they also wrap some cloth, or she has her own, her veil, she can wrap around her waist belt. I mean her ankle, waist bells. They keep them silent. So in Radharani, they can come very silently, and they can stay outside the kunj, and they can watch. Because what's going to happen, they're going to see how mad Krishna is to meet Radharani, how totally beside himself. And he's so much utkanti to bhav, so much eagerness to meet Radharani. He's going in and out and in and out of the kunj. He comes out of the kunj, he looks up the path, where is she? With these wide eyes, eyes are wide open, his neck is extended, utkanta. Utkanta means your neck is extended. Kanta means neck. Ut means utam. Means up, extended. When you're anticipating something, you're very eager, you don't go like this, oh, what's happening? Where's this guy supposed to pick me up? When is he coming? Maybe, where is he? Where's my ride? When's he coming? This is called utkanta. Krishna's coming out like this, his neck is extended, and he's looking, where is she? And eyes are like this, looking. And the gopis, this mandri, Das Rati Manjari, she wants Radharani to see Krishna at this time, to actually witness the extensive eagerness of Krishna's utkanti tabhav. So all these ankle bells are silent, the waist bells are silent, Radharani and all the Manjaris, they run down there, and then Rati Manjari says, Radharani, wait, just wait here, see this kunja? Krishna's there, he's there. And Radharani says, yes, I can feel the radiation, you know, the vibration coming. I can understand. There's also some glow there. Some beautiful glow is coming there. So then, she says, just wait, watch. And then Krishna runs out. He's looking like this. And Rati says, see, look at his face. Oh my. What, look at his face. So, all that's for me. So much heart, so much love he has, so much anticipation, eagerness to meet me. And so then Radharani becomes so much eager. So the gopis are doing everything to increase the eagerness for Radha and Krishna to meet. But all it says here is, when will I arrange for her meeting with Krishna? That's all the verse says. When it says, avisar, just says, payodhan, avisar adibir. Avisar means a love journey or meeting. So all of these type of thoughts and type of visions, they come by the mercy of Rupa Manjari. And the devotees like Raghunath Das, they've given their books, they've given their sutras and their shlokas and their books for whom? For us. For what? To meditate on, to pray, to cry. And then that's the access. We actually accept their teachings and we follow their teachings and we cry and we pray. And then they'll say, oh, you're coming to me. You're knocking on my door. You're following my path. This is called following the Mahajans. And then these books are for those that are interested. When someone's interested and someone shows his interest by putting his time and investing his time in this way, then he attracts the heart of Raghunath Das and Rupa Goswami. But so many other people that are also Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they say, never read these books, never think about these things. That's very, very good, because then we don't have to bother Raghunath Das very much. So then our petition, he'll be able to hear our petition because no one else is bothering him. But if everybody in ISKCON was knocking on Raghunath Das's door, if everybody in ISKCON was knocking on Rupa Mantri's door, please let me in. Show me this bhajan, show me this meditation, let me assist you, let me help you, give me the adhikar, give me the opportunity. Then he'd be so busy. Raghunath Das would be so busy, he wouldn't have any time to serve Radharani. He'd be so busy training everyone and opening the door and saying, yes, may I help you, what do you want? Please sit down. Wait a minute. Your turn is coming next. Here's a comb. You know, just get a hand, get a feel for this comb. You'll go in there and brush around his hair in a minute or two. But there's a big line. There's like 10,000 life members in front of you. So fortunately, it's not like that. For every lack of followers of ISKCON, there may be one person that has caught up the actual teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, it's very nice. Raghunath Das and Rupa Mundri, Rupa Goswami, they're just relaxed. There's nobody's disturbing, knocking on their door. Hey, give me seva, give me seva, give me seva. And no one's crying. If someone's always crying all the time and at your door, then you know, it's so much disturbance. So let us be those fortunate followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rag Marg Prachar. Lord Chaitanya says, I have come to this world to teach the path. Prachar, he said, to preach the path of Raghunuga Bhakti. So, this is some notes we had from last year. So, of course, is there any questions or comments at this point? Mantri? Be successful. Because you're making the point that everything we're doing, so much sadhana, so much hearing and chanting, there's three main limbs of bhakti, hearing and chanting. And then the final one is smaranam, remembrance. And this is the reality, as you mentioned. Of course, hearing and chanting are going on in the spiritual world, so that's very real. Gopis are hearing and chanting. Everyone in the spiritual world is hearing and chanting about Krishna. There's no other subject matter. And they're also hearing and chanting, remembering. So the goal for us, because the mind is what will carry us on to our next body. Our mind will give us our body. And our mind has to be filled with bhav. It is already filled with bhav. Feelings, sentiments, likings. Bhav means likings, natural likings, feelings, bhavas. So we have to get that body. Ultimately, we will get a body, or we will get a spiritual body, which will be based on our bhavas, on our feelings and natural likings. So that is the perfection, the siddhadeya. Siddha means perfection, or siddhi means the perfection, is to realize the spiritual body, enter the spiritual world, and engage in the service of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. So to do that, we have to develop this gopi bhav in terms of madhura rati. And then, so the journey of sadhana is a journey to the mind. Because if there may be so many actions of the senses and body may be so much active for lifetimes and lifetimes in vaidhi sadhana, or even some minor principles of rag. But unless the mind is fully absorbed in these principles of remembrance, then the mind will not take the shape of the bhav, will not be full of this bhav of the gopis. So, as the acharyas are telling us in Manat Shiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami, everything, we should love our mantras. Our gurus given our mantras. We should love the Gayatris. We should love the Krishna mantra, Gopal mantra. We should actually have deep attachment for all the things that have been given to us by Guru, and keep in mind that our goal is this, to follow the residents of Vrindavan. And I think by having classes like this and associating with others, I mean, the quickest way to attain the goal is to follow, as we heard umpteen times, to follow Rupa and Raghunath. To follow on Rupa and Raghunath, Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami, and the other Goswamis also, especially Rupa and Raghunath, is to continually read their books, continually pray to them, and continually associate with advanced devotees that are speaking on behalf of these books. Because these books are bringing us, are only about shaping the mind around the bhava of the Brijavasis, and specifically making our mind take shape around the bhava of the gopis and Sakhi Manjaris. So this is our path of, as Rupanuga Vaishnavas, our followers of Rupa Goswami, interested in this bhava of the Manjaris, is to continually read and chant and pray. I mean, some acharyas, they give a handful of books, and Vilap Kusumanjali is certainly one of them. Because as I mentioned, by reading this book over and over again, this book is only about the reality. Just take this one book, Vilap Kusumanjali. Once I heard one acharya, they asked him, what are the most important books that we should read and study to attain perfection in Gopi Bhav, so that our minds become completely filled with the thoughts and feelings and attitudes and sevas that Manjaris have in the spiritual world? And he said Radharasudaniti. Radharasudaniti by Prabhavananda Saraswati, then Vilap Kusumanjali by Raghunath Das, and these two, and I think Prem Bhakti Chandra, these two I remember for sure. There were about four books, but these two I'm sure of. And the other two I can't remember just now. But maybe, I think it was Prem Bhakti Chandrika, because that's in sutra form by Narottam Das. Very, 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 very much conducive for this bhava of being Radharani's Palyadasi. And then these same books, of course, are elaborately discussed and purported on by the realized acharyas, which are available also in English, as you know. So therefore, that indicates that these are so important for this particular goal. And these books, and practically speaking, these books are made for meditation. They have to be meditated on. They seem, oh, it's only three books. I read it. But it's just like, just read it. You know, read one verse of each book for 1 month and pray and meditate and pray and meditate. This is seems to be the constant, the basic bottom line teaching that I've seen and seen and heard from all the devotees that I've heard or read books about when they're discussing Raghunuga Bhajan, or you can say more specifically, you want to say Manjari Sarup Bhajan. They're always saying these same points. To continually read these books, continually meditate, and pray. They're always saying pray. It's vandanam. Prayer is not, it's there. Whether one is, and even if one is has siddha pranali, even they must pray. Even they are told to pray. So the idea is to become connected, to become personally connected, as we mentioned last year in our classes about mamta. In the very beginning of the book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying Raghunath Das Goswami is praying to have mamata, or feelings of possession, for Sachi Nandan. That's one of the first verses in Bhajan Rahasyam. I want mamata. I want a feeling of possession that this Sachi Nandan Gaurahari is mine. My Sachi Nandan, my Gaurahari. So this mamata, this feeling of possession, of mine-ness, we must develop for Rupa Manjari, my Raghunath Das. They are very near and dear to me. It's not like, oh, that he lives somewhere and 500 years ago and I don't know anything about. It should be very much, they should be our friends, our guardians, our protectors on the path of devotion. So if you want to know me, like Prabhupada himself said, you want to know me? What did Prabhupada say? Read my books. There's certain sutras in ISKCON that everybody knows. And certainly it has deep profundity. If you want to know me, read my books. So we want to know Prabhupada, certainly, and what his bhava is. And if one reads all of his books and follows all his teachings and sees everything he's done and sees the parampara that he's come in it's very easy to conclude unequivocally and absolutely that he's a Mandri. There's no doubt about it. Otherwise, why would he come in this Mandri Sampradaya? He would have been in some Sampradaya with all Gopals, right? But there are also Gaudiya Sampradayas with Gopals. So if people say Prabhupada is a Gopal, how is it possible? Why does he come in this line? You know? Because as I said the other day, there are lines of Acharyas coming down from the Dwadasa Gopals who appeared as Udarandat Thakur, Kamalakara, Pipalai, Goridas Pandit, etc. And they followed Nityananda Balaram, and they were propagating and teaching Sakirati, right? Sakirati means brotherly love, Sakiras. And they, Paramparas are still existing. They have their books, they have their Astakali Leela, they have all these different books are there. But our Guru Maharaj, you know, he didn't come, you know, Krishna's arranging everything. So if his Staibhav was there, he would have come in that Parampara to be an agent of their teachings, right? It's obvious. So some people say, oh, Prabhupada is a Gopa, this, that. It's a very shallow understanding. One, although it doesn't disregard that any disciple of any given guru may have a different rati. Like you may be, your guru may be in Madhura rati. He may be in Manjari or in Gopi Bhav. And you may be in Sakya rati. That's also possible. We see that in Jiva Dharma. In Jiva Dharma, the guru had two disciples and one was in Sakya rati, the other was in Madhura rati. If the guru is in Madhura rati, then he can certainly nourish. He can nourish someone in Sakya rati. Because all the ratis are there, all the bhavas are there in Madhura Rati. There's no conflict. Sometimes when we discuss with some devotees about this point, or God brothers, they say, oh, Prabhupada is a Priya Narmasaka. Because the Priya Narmasakas, they also mix up in Krishna's Madhurya Leela. In other words, like Subal and Madhumangal, they're very much helping Krishna and his intimate pastimes with the gopis. They carry love notes and they know that Krishna, they're there, and Krishna goes inside the kunj. He says, you wait here, I'll be here for a few hours, you go eat some bananas and go climb the trees, eat some bananas, I'll be back in a few hours. So they're not that slow. They know that when he goes in the kunj with Radharani that he's having his confidential mother pastimes. And they carry love notes and they know all about it. So sometimes they propagate the Prabhupada. Is this type, he's sucka, but this type. It's called win-win. He's a sucker, but he's dabbling in Madhura Rati. No, he's a gopi. He's a Mandri. His guru is a Mandri. His param guru is a Mandri. Because you'll meditate in line. You have to be in line. Because when you, as a sadhaka, whatever you do as a sadhaka, you also do a siddha. So whatever the guru is doing in a guru sadhaka roop, he'll also be doing in a siddha roop. So if all your teachers or all your line of teachers, your guru and your param guru and your paratara guru, they're all gopis, mandris, right? Prabhupada, that's the line of Prabhupada. Then it means when your internal meditation, you're going to meditate as they are externally, you know, as in the guru roop. In the guru roop, Bhakti Sananta and Gaurakishore and his guru Navakishore Goswami, and Diksha Parampara, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Shiksha Guru, they're all Sakhi Mandris. So you come under them as in sadhak groups, so that means you must be the same. Because you meditate on both. You meditate in sadhak group and siddha group. So many, many long discussions you can say. So this is, what I can understand in answer to your question is this. It's not a very, nothing esoteric about the answer, but these handful of books, these are the primary books. We have many books to read. We read Brihad Bhagavatamrita to become established in Sambandha, very strong in Sambandha and understanding the foundation of Krishna consciousness and different levels of devotees and the gopis and everything, so many things. And then when we get more specific, when we actually get some awareness or inclination to serve Krishna in a particular staibhav, particular loving mood of devotion, then the books also become specified. That's like, it's very interesting. When Rupa Goswami is presenting Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's talking about Panchanga Bhakti, as I mentioned yesterday, that these five limbs of bhakti will give prema very easily. And he says, Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Bhagavat Shravan, he just says Bhagavat Shravan. And then Vishnu Chakravarti, he says, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. He said, we should hear the Bhagavat in association with Rasika Bhaktas. And then Jiva Goswami, Because Jiva Goswami is ordered and empowered by Rupa Goswami to write tikas and commentaries on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And of course, Vishwanath came 200 years later. So he's saying that the Panchangam Bhakti of Bhagavat Shravan, that actually what he means to say is with Rasika Vaishnavas. But what Jiva Goswami wrote immediately at the same time, in the morning, practically speaking, in the morning, Rupa Goswami was writing the verse, in the afternoon, Jiva was writing the purport, or tika. He wrote that Bhagavat Shravan means specifically the 10th canto, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. This is Panchanga. So Jiva Goswami, who is directly empowered, so what Rupa is wanting to say, because it is a fact that if you only do Bhagavat Shravan, if you only hear the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, 24 hours a day, you will get Krishna Prema. But if you're not hearing only 10th canto and Braj Leela, you may get Vaikuntha Prema, you may get Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti, or you may go to Goloka Vrindavan in the Aishwarya aspect of Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna, Nanda Bhava, and everyone's there, but they're in an Aishwarya presentation. They're not in the sweet Madhura presentation, because there's two Goloka Vrindavans. One part of the planet is Aishwarya and the other part is Madhurya. Same planet, Krishna Loka. But if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically 10th canto of Braj Leela, you can't get anything but this sweet Braja Prem in the mood of the gopis. So that's why, because Rupa Goswami, he's broad-minded, so he doesn't want anyone to be offended. Because if he just says, only read the 10th canto, people say, what is this? Why is he, what about the rest of the Bhagavatam? This is an offense to Vyasadeva or Shukadeva. They wrote 12 cantos, and he's saying, forget it, just take this part. Take these 37 chapters or 38 chapters of Braj Leela, whatever it is, 36, whatever it is. 38 chapters of Braj Leela. Forget the other 330 chapters. There's something like 336 chapters in Bhagavatam. Forget the other 300 chapters. Read these 36. That's what he wanted to say. So Jiva Goswami, he knows Jiva means the life. He knows the life, what real life, the living teaching. Jiva means the living teaching. The living teaching in the heart of Rupa, Jiva understood. So he said, anyway, by the way, because Rupa Goswami, anyone may read this Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They'll say, yes, Rupa is speaking quite correctly. The Bhagavatam will give you prem. Reading Bhagavatam will give you prem. Now Jiva Goswami, who's writing commentaries, especially for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they'll say, but, by the way, especially 10th canto, this will give you Braja prem. And this is what Rupa Goswami has come to give, Braja prem. As did Lord Chaitanya, come to give Braja prem. So therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto of Braj Leela, is also very much anukul for this Mantri Bhav. So we read that with the commentaries. Of course, the whole Bhagavatam, the whole 10th canto, because even the 10th, and once Sukadeva Goswami starts speaking the 10th canto, when he's speaking 10th canto, he knows, this is the canto where I'm going to reveal Mahabhav. This is the canto where I'm going to reveal the Braj Gopis Prem, Braja Prem, the Gopis Prem. So 10th canto means Braja Gopis Prem. And 10th canto means the Rasa Panchadaya. Rasa Panchadaya is the smile of Krishna. This is Krishna's smiling face. So in that smile, when Krishna's smiling, it also means he's kissing. And when he's kissing, it means he's kissing Radharani. So Rasa Panchadaya, this is the essence of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, because all the rasas are there in this Rasa Panchadaya. That's why Krishna's smiling. It's Krishna's smiling face, because he's smiling because he's experienced so much rasa from Radharani and the gopis. So as soon as Sukadeva Goswami is thinking 10th canto, and he's writing about Braja Leela, although there's Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela, you'll see all mixed up in Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela, there's all kinds of gopi bhav coming there. All kinds of gopi bhav. In Kuvja there's some gopi bhav, and Mahishis there's some gopi bhav. You can't separate. So basically the whole 10th canto is about gopi bhav. But specifically that's Braja Leela. So therefore, Jiva Goswami is saying that if you want to get Braja Prem, concentrate on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. This is the teachings of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. And then, believe it or not, ironically, followers of Lord Chaitanya and so-called followers of Rupa Goswami say, don't read the 10th canto. It's unbelievable. Sometimes we hear people say like this. It's like Rupa Goswami saying, don't go to the banks of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat. on the full moon night of the Sharad season and see that beautiful blue boy standing under the Kanama tree with the bamshi pressed to his lips and his fingers dancing over the holes and playing this beautiful melody on his flute, beautiful raga, malara rag or some rag. Because if you go there, if you want to maintain your attachment to friendship, society, and love, then don't go there. So actually, although it sounds like a negative, he's warning you, don't go there. If you're attached to your family and your society and your friends and your relatives and your dealings, don't go there. He's actually saying, Rupa Goswami is saying, run there. Run there as fast as you can. And when you see Krishna standing there, you'll become so enchanted and so attracted that you'll forget everything and become totally lost in Krishna Prem. So this is actually, you know, when people are saying, don't read the 10th canto, actually they're saying, read the 10th canto. And Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada's giving us in 1969, here, read it every night. Prabhupada's order to ISKCON from 1969 on, when we joined 74 and 75, the order from Srila Prabhupada was, every night read Krishna book. That's the founder of ISKCON is telling, every night read Krishna book. And so anybody else is connected with ISKCON and doesn't say that, then he must not be connected. Right? So this is, any other thing? Question? Yeah. If someone has to leave, they can leave. They don't have to stay. They have some time.
Like, what I understand, like, when we hear or read about the Leelas, and then we, on our level, start meditating on it, so then we have certain imagination on what we hear and what we read. So I want to know how to differentiate or Where does imagination become revelation? Like, what is the differentiation between what you're imagining and its revelation?
Well, at the level of bhava, it's called, now we're doing mantra maya upasana. Mantra maya upasana means that, let's take it this way, because mantra maya upasana at the level of bhava, at the beginning level of bhava, you're also doing mantra maya upasana. At the upper level of bhava, when you're more almost reaching prema, then it becomes swarasiki, because your own ras, swaras, means my own ras becomes deeply revealed, your own relationship, swarasiki. Then, rather than one mantra and one section or one portion of a pastime, when you're meditating, there's no question of imagination at this higher level of bhava. When you're meditating, then your mind enters the river. As I mentioned before, this analogy, you weren't here. But your mind enters the river, and then the river's moving. And it's going downstream to the ocean. As it's moving, it's going by so many different trees, so many different things. So the river of meditation will go from one pastime to another pastime to another pastime, as they're really happening. Because practically speaking, at this level of meditation, it's called beginning to enter a prakrit lila at the higher level of bhava, the unmanifested pastime. So it's very real, there's no imagination. At a lower level of bhava, you're also doing mantra maya upasana. But then the acharyas themselves, they're manifesting before you, and they're showing you these different aspects of the pastime. They're actually revealing it. That's revelation. The acharyas are showing you. Now, at the level of, not at the lower level of bhava, but the level of anartanivrti, or you can say nishta, or any level where one may be participating or practicing mantra maya upasana, it is told by the acharyas that we simply pray, because what will happen is that these rasika vaishnavas are not going to start reciprocating until one becomes qualified. So you'll know directly when these rasika vaishnavas are reciprocating with you. That will be a revelation. They will directly come and say, it's like this. Bhaktivinod, Raghunath Das, Rupa Goswami. So that comes in the beginning level of bhava. Because their bhava bhakti, their swarup shakti starts to shine in the heart, and they introduce themselves. And then they show these things. They show these variations of these pastimes. These, you know, as I was saying. At the level of anartanivrti or ruchi, let's say anartanivrti, nishta, ruchi. At these levels, one is doing mantra maya upasana, but he's simply looking at the mantra, and he's meditating on that scene alone. That scene alone, what is actually happening? Oh Rupa Mantri, when will you give me an opportunity to massage the feet that you're massaging? That's all the mantra says. That's all the shloka says. So now you're just meditating, and you're praying to Rupa Manjari, and you're praying to Raghunath Das, who's praying to Rupa Manjari, praying to both of them, and you're praying to Radhika, and you're trying to see that, oh, please show me this scene. May I see this scene. May I become qualified someday to render service like this. So simply we're praying for adhikar, we're praying for qualification to render exactly this service, exactly as it's described. And there's not imagining. Okay, now that's called kalpana. Kalpana. No, now I'm there and I'm brushing her hair and it's a little cold over here. So I plugged in an electric fan. I have a table. I have a standing fan. I plugged it in that is blowing air over here to cool right around the off while I'm fanning. It's kind of quiet over here. So I'm going to turn on the stereo and play some Ravi Shankar sitar music and I'm brushing her hair. This is called kalpana. This is imagination. This is not mantra maya upasana. So there's different levels of mantra maya upasana. But in the beginning level, it's just what it is, it is. And then when one actually comes from the narthas go and the aparadhas and the ignorance and all that goes and one becomes nishta and there's characteristics of nishta, then ruchi comes and then bhava comes, then you don't have to do any imagination. You don't have to imagine this and that. Then when they will reveal. And then it's not, there's no place for imagination. It's revelation that will come from these nityajanas, these parijans, these associates of the Lord. They will give the revelation. But we have to have adhikar, first deserve then desire, as Prabhupada said. First deserve then desire. But it doesn't prevent us from meditating or doing the upasana, which means the worship, and the praying, and the crying, and the begging. That is what we do. You know, is that clear? Because imagination, I mean, you can go all million directions, imagination. Yes. Yeah, it's unfair. No, there's a difference. There's a difference. I mean, these are mantra maya upasana. This is specific, you can say, specific guided meditations to attain a specific result. This is called abhideya, to attain a prayojan or a sadhya. So the acharyas, the benevolent guardians of devotion, the well-wishing acharyas, have given us the method of bhajan. The method of bhajan means that those activities by which practicing, we can at least position ourselves and orient ourselves to receive their kripa, by receiving their kripa, we'll attain perfection, which means bhava and prema. So it's very specific. So if we want to attain this perfection of the prema seva of Radharani and Manjari Bhav and realize Siddhadeya and Manjari Sarup, then we have to follow the Mahajans. We have to follow the path of these Brijavasis. Now, in terms of the freedom to think in the mind, which you're saying imagination, I'm saying the freedom to think freely in the mind, to render various services to our Thakur or our deity or our guru, that freedom we have. That's called generic Manasi Seva. An example is given in Nectar Devotion of Manasi Seva of the South Indian Brahmin, who was just sitting down. I'm a poor Brahmin, but I wish if I had money, I would get some milk and I would boil it and make some sweet rice and put in some cashews and some raisins and I would offer it to the Lord, but I wouldn't want it to be too hot, so I don't know how to make sure I don't know if it's hot or not. He's just simply thinking in his mind. But that's not a specific guided meditation to become a Manjari in the camp of Radharani and to develop this Gopi Abhiman. It's a meditation. You're meditating on the Lord and you're rendering some service. But that can be as free as you want to think. And that's accepted by the Lord. That's Manasi Seva. That's accepted as service. That's what's told in Nectar Devotion. The story is there. That the Lord equally accepts service rendered either in the mind or with the external senses. So that gives us some freedom of thought to think in different ways. But that doesn't come under the category of mantra maya upasana. Mantra maya upasana is specific meditations which are given by our acharyas, because everything is anugatya. Anugatya means we must be an anugatya. We pray to Tulsi every day to be anugatya of the sakis, right? E nevedena dara sakir anugatya kara. Sakhi Anugatya. We want to be Anugatya. Means following the path of the... Anu means continuous. Anu means regular or continuous. Or one after the other. Anugatya. We want to follow regularly, every day, we want to follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. This is our bhajan. But in that context of that, there's also something called Manasi Seva, that we can meditate. And you can imagine different things. Prabhupada says in one purport, I quote in Arthur chanting, he said, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, he says, it's right there. You can read in my art of chanting, I cite the reference. What tape number, everything is there. Prabhupada is saying, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you can imagine. You can imagine. The word is there. You use the word imagine. You can imagine. Krishna is sitting in my heart. I've invited Krishna to sit in my heart. And I have a beautiful diamond throne for him. And he's sitting on this throne and I'm worshipping him in my heart. So Prabhupada himself, right there, is giving the indication to use your imagination or use your mind and think of Krishna when you're chanting Hare Krishna. This is one of the techniques we give in our art of chanting. So you're free. But as far as in this realm of bhajan, there's a path of bhajan. So Rupa Goswami and Raghunath and Vishwanath and Narottam and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they have given us the bhajan pranali. It's called bhajan pranali. The path of worship by which we can attain a desired perfection. But on that path, even there's freedom for some imagination, you can also do. But we have to be careful because, you know, we may imagine all kinds of crazy things. You know. And so it's better that we follow the standard process of meditation, because they give so many meditations. Sankalpa Kalpa Druma and this Vilapkusumandri, there's so many meditations, we can just go over those and pray for those specific services and for that mood and that meditation. That's quite a lot to keep us busy. And try to see that. Try to see what they're doing. Try to see Raghunath Das rendering the service of brushing Radharani's hair. Where and what? And what is Radharani feeling? What is Radharani's face looking like? And what is Raghunath Das's face? And what is the feelings? And how? And all these, all there's so much there that we can try to imagine that imagination, imagine in terms of the context of what's there. So there's some room for that. In other words, it said he's brushing your hair. Oh, how is he brushing your hair? And how is Radharani feeling? And how is he feeling? What is, and then we read, well, how is he feeling? He's feeling like this. And he's telling us how he's feeling. Oh, Radharani, when I'm brushing your hair, I'll be so careful. I'll brush your hair so carefully that I'll consider each one of your hair, each hair in your body, to be more valuable to me, to be more important to me than millions and millions of my own lives. So in Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, Vishwanath, who is Vinod Vallabhi Manjari, is revealing the intensity of her feelings towards Radharani. And that's, when we see that, we pray, oh, Vishwanath, let this intensity of feelings come in my heart towards Radharani. Because this is part and parcel of Manjari Bhav, of the Gopis Bhav. So there's so much there, just in that, Mantra Maya Upasana. So we can imagine kind of within a very restricted sense, but not imagine, well, I bought in a table fan and I put in Ravi Shankar music and maybe I should use some hair conditioner and maybe some aloe protein shampoo and wash Radharani's hair with some aloe protein shampoo and wash it with some, you know, egg conditioner and, you know, all kinds of this stuff. This is all kalpana. Because the Shastra is saying, no, she dries her hair with aloe wood. So, okay, she dries her hair with aloe wood. Well, let me go out. Let me chop up that aloe wood or whatever. You can imagine, okay, I'm doing that service or I'm preparing the aloe wood and I have some golden bowl and I bought the aloe wood there and I have some banana leaf and I've lit it and I'm fanning it with a banana leaf to make it burn so it gets into charcoal and gives off this smoke. So in the context of the specific thing, you may imagine some variations or some try to enter that way, but not go too broad a field, so to speak. Let your imagination run wild. It has to be careful. This can get out of control, this imagination thing.
So it's more visualization than imagination.
Words have different meanings to different people. Visualization, imagination. In other words, I tend to interpret the word imagination means any dev thing comes in your mind, you throw it into Leela. So it's not that should not be done. That's called kalpana. The Leelas are specific. It's called mantra. The mantra is there. It has a shape. It has a wall. There's a wall. The room has a shape. The room has four walls. And you try to say, well, let's make the wall go out 1 mile this way, make the wall go out 1 mile that way. Then it's not the room anymore. The wall has specific shape. So the mantra has specific shape. It's like a room. And you can enter that mantra, enter that room within the context of the four walls. And you can within that context, you can imagine or expand or visualize whatever whatever word you want to use. But that in itself, at least, and we don't even have to so much get into all this imagination. Just try to deeply pray to the author of that shloka, of that verse, to reveal what's going on here. And by prayer and by crying, then gradually, that sincerity, rather than, because anybody can just let their imagination loose. Here's a shloka. Okay, it's like a school exercise. Take this verse, now write an essay, 500-page essay. Imagine whatever you can about this verse, right? It can be an essay for a school child. Here's a verse describing that Raghunath Das, Rati Manjari, is brushing Radharani's hair. Now, students, write a 500-page essay on this. Oh, he's brushing hair with the comb is 6 miles long, or this and that. And you can just write, you can imagine so many things, and you get an award for the most imaginative essay. Right? This is something people do in school. So that isn't bhajan. This is not the way bhajan goes. Bhajan is avaroha, it's descending, it comes down. We accept what they've given us, then we submit to that, and we surrender to that, and we pray to them, and we meditate on that much, and then see what happens from that. Let them give us something. It should come from their side. So we have to qualify to receive something from their side. So even in the beginning, at Anartha Nivritti or Nishta, we may qualify to receive something from their side. And then we enter the level of bhava, then we'll receive so much from their side. And then at the upper level of bhava, and prema, we'll join them. We'll enter their side and we'll flow with them. And they'll go to one lila, to another lila, and we'll go with them, serving them side by side. Das, dasi, 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 anudasi. Gopi bhartu palakamaliyar, dasi, 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 anudasi. Like this. Thank you very much. Mantra kovo druvyascha, kripa sindhu.